Welcome to studio.
Woo, studio.
Oh, did you go? I think we just got a hint there of who may be back on the radio. We'll find out. She's last. We'll do her introductions in a minute. But first, I'm Jack. We are here for our brand new look radio show. It's still all about OU students, but we're now called Studio.
What are you studying, Jack?
Humanities.
What does that mean?
Someone in work said to me once that it was about studying humans.
Oh, and
yeah. Is it? No, it's nothing like that. On my right, you may have just got a bit of a hint of who it is. It's Nikki.
My name's Nikki. I'm an OU student from Northern Ireland. I'm the deputy president of the OU Students Association, and I have been a student since, 2007, and I'm a health and social care graduate. And who do I have on my right?
My name's Graham. I'm also an OU student. I'm on a bit of an interim at the moment, so my graduation ceremony is in T-minus kind of 12 weeks, so I'm looking forward to that in London. But I'm going to be starting my master's course in October, so I'm going to be hanging around the OU just a little bit longer. And I'm also the chair of Plexus, which is the Open University's LGBT student group. And to my right is...
I'm Steph. I am Vice President Community. I'm a business management student. I'm having a study break at the moment and restarting my next module in October, but I've had a busy time anyway because this week I've had my 15th grandchild born.
Wow.
Congratulations.
His name's Darren and he's doing really well at the moment. He's had a bit of a rough start, but he's doing okay. And to my right is...
Hi!
Hurrah!
I'm back. Hi, my name's Sue Goodyear. What am I?
I don't know what you are now.
I don't either. It's been a while.
Many names.
I'm an OUSET, Open University Student Educational Trust, trustee.
When was the last time you were on the radio, Sue? It's been a while, hasn't it?
You'll have to listen on catch-up and go to the website. And
you were one of the first presenters. If not the first.
I was. It was my voice with a different name of a radio show. So I'm going to have to sort of try and remember who I am, where I am and why I'm here.
This is the new you.
This is the new me. But I think it's brilliant. And hopefully this time, no fire alarms. I think some of you...
Yes, there was a fire alarm the last time I was here. So we are not hoping for a fire alarm this evening. So Sue, what do you think of the new radio show name, Studio?
I was actually quite glad that they'd put it out to the students to name it and get their views.
That's right, there were over 800 students responded when the association asked for a view. So, and that's how we ended up with the name Studio.
Isn't it part student and part radio studio?
Yeah.
We've got our new logo as well. It's a lovely shade of red. Is that red or a pink, would you say?
Oh,
red.
I think it's some sort of orangey red from
orange.
My angle.
Orange?
Yeah.
Orange?
It's red.
Red.
We're students, learned people. We read, so it must be red.
Okay. That makes all sorts of sense. Nonsense. Okay. Because we have the new name for the new radio show, Studio, and I also want to highlight that we are looking for volunteers to take part and become presenters on the radio show.
That doesn't mean we're made redundant, does it?
Well, it's really down to you, I think. There might be a place for you, Jack. So we're looking for lots of new hosts for 2017. If you go onto our freshers page and click on volunteer, the radio host role will be available for you to look at and for you to apply online. And we want to see lots of you getting interested in that role.
It's a really exciting experience as well, isn't it, to be in a host? Because this is my second time doing the show now. First time I was like on eggshells, I was really, really nervous. And now the second time is great. I feel a bit more relaxed doing it.
Well, this is my first time. I've got a few butterflies, but I'm feeling okay.
Good. I'm a seasoned hack. But I still don't know where I'm going with some things. So, it is absolutely brilliant. Having done the first one, I personally have progressed with my confidence. Mm. And I love it. And the support from the staff in the office and the co-presenters is, we have a hoot.
Yeah, it's worth saying there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes to make the radio show on the air. And our team aren't even interested.
We're looking out through the studio window.
They're not even listening.
They're not even listening.
Oh, there's a wave.
There's a wave.
Oh, they're waving now.
They're waving now.
Yeah, what we were saying, they were rubbish at their rubbish at their jobs, was it?
So we all think that you should have a look at the role description online and get involved.
Definitely, definitely. And if you don't think it's for you, then
have a look and see what other roles are there for you.
And tell others that it is available.
If students want to have a look on the freshers page, there's a link there. So they'll be able to go right through to that. And you'll see also information about other volunteer roles that we have, which are helping out at graduation ceremonies. You can actually also write for the student magazine. So some people who are interested in radio shows might also be interested in getting out in other media. So you can get in touch and send through copy for our student magazine as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a deadline for copy. That's the fancy word for sending your articles. Copy, I think, is what the journalist
uses. That's pretty cool, yeah.
So the deadline for that is on the 13th of February. If you want to have an article considered for publication, you can send in your initial ideas to our email address for the magazine, which is oustudents-magazine@open.ac.uk. So it's freshers time. People do get quite worried and anxious about beginning their study journey. So here's a student who's been in touch to say, it's been a long time since I last studied, 20 years ago at school, in fact. I'm really excited about starting my course, but I also work full time and have young children. I just don't know how I'm going to fit it all in. Does anyone have any tips for someone who's a bit terrified about juggling everything? So I think a few of us around the table have probably been through similar experiences when we've started our course and felt a bit worried.
I think we've all been through that. I think we're all in probably the same boat. I think everybody's probably got the same sorts of problems. I find it quite useful to just get like a study calendar out or something and, you know, just make notes as to when you're going to dedicate time to do your study, and whether it's a few hours a night or whether you're going to have break days or what.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes just good to get yourself in an organised way, because I think otherwise you're a bit all over the place as to when you're going to study. And I don't think that... I think you should be organised when you're doing your studying.
I break mine down into tasks and sessions, and I have a little tick list. And each time I complete something, I tick a box. It just feels like I'm achieving something as I go along, rather than seeing a whole week's work as a big item. Having smaller items to tick off just helps me keep motivated.
I would agree with that, Steph. That's exactly the same thing I do with taking the planner idea and the kind of tick box. It's that sense of achievement, and you're working your way through it, and you kind of get closer and closer to your assignment. You can feel a bit more prepared and can get your assignment
ready.
You all sound like model students. My study pattern is absolutely nothing like that. It's kind of a, you know, mad dash at the very close to deadline to try and get things finished, finding time when I can, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. So if anybody else listening at home has any other solutions, how you might work, you know, given juggling all the different things that students have to juggle, please get in touch and we'll come back to this later on throughout the show and give you some of the answers.
I think one of the main things is not to worry, isn't it, about how you study. Once you find the solution that works for you, and in the early days it might be that it's a bit trial and error as to if you study in the morning, you study at night, but you will find your rhythm.
Yeah, I also think not comparing yourself to anybody else that's doing the same module,
because
there will be people that like to study ahead, which there's nothing wrong with doing that. I personally do try to study ahead. And there's other people that need to do it when they can, and they can do big lots in certain spaces of time.
Yeah.
So just concentrate on your own study plans and don't worry about where you fit in with everybody else.
Yeah, I agree with that, Steph, because I think some of the benefits of Facebook, especially the groups, are that it's a great way to meet new friends and students, but at the same time, it has its negatives, that there are some people who like to post on what they've done and what they're achieving, and it's important, like you say, not to...
don't compare yourself.
Compare yourself to the people who are like to post those stuff, because it's about what you feel inside, I think.
It's your journey.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And everybody is on a different journey. We all start for different reasons. We all study for different reasons. So we're going to talk a little bit about what it's really like to be an OU student, because that's one of the things that people really do worry about when they start out. I think it's a very up and down path that you take in your studies throughout the module. From when it starts and the books come through your door, you first get that email to say everything's ready to go, through to studying night after night or weekend after weekend while your friends are going out and you're at home, to actually then get into the completion stage. So Sue, what do you think are the big standout things? What, you know, why do you study and what is it really like to be an OU student?
Oh, you had to start with me.
Oh,
dear. I think... For those of you who don't know, I graduated a couple of years ago, and my journey has been, like Nick says, a bit up, down, roller coaster-ish and everything else. But one thing over the years that I've found myself saying to myself and to others and hearing from others is it's life-changing, both academically, because you are facing that wall, you are sitting on that tank, you are on an oil rig somewhere, or, you know, just in your tent, on your train, whatever, studying. And I think from getting involved as well with being sort of an active student and volunteering my time, it was the personal development as well.
Mm.
I've become quite good at time management.
Very good. That's something that I still haven't learned, I have to say, after many years of being an OE student. And people's like, oh, that's terrible. You should be able to do this by now. But I'm a procrastinator. I'm one of life's delayers. I will sit back and watch the TV and, you know, watch the paint dry before I'll open my books. So what do you do to motivate yourself when you're really not feeling that study is what you want to be doing that day?
I think sometimes it's just finding out sort of what's on the next page. I think there's more procrastination time when it comes to writing assignments than actually reading and listening to the materials. I do think that sort of the course materials that we get given in the different formats, going to tutorials and stuff like that, adds all that variety. So from that perspective, I think the study's enjoyable, and it actually stops me reading magazines.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it saves you a few pennies as well.
Yeah, it's like read a module material. And I like the fact on, I think, one of my modules, when I was, say, watching telly and reading the news and stuff, it was the ability to see it from a completely different perspective and with an open mind, and perhaps...
It's quite empowering, that feeling, actually. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I started, I did a particular module and it had a section on pain in it. And that meant a lot to me personally, because I started with health problems and I was going through a lot of physical pain at the time. But all of a sudden I was empowered because I understood what was happening to me. And I imagine that's the same for a lot of people when they suddenly know, aha, that's why this particular chemistry thing happens. I'm not a scientist, you might
guess, speaking of that, somewhat Adrian Lane has been on Twitter tweeting us. And he's put, he was really struggling how to approach an assignment all day. And then it came to him when he was trying to sleep at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, sometimes you have your best ideas at night time, don't you? I actually find if you have a little notebook beside your bed, it can sometimes be quite handy just to jot down your thoughts.
Mm. And Colin Pritchard's got a good, if you are juggling your studies in life, make sure neither have sharp edges. Stuart, Vanessa Wigston, I like to have a planned week ahead, although I think everyone's circumstances are different. But failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
So we're all here as part of the OU student community and as volunteers within the Student Association. And Graham, do you want to tell us?
Yeah, I think that's how that supported my journey as a student, because obviously Jack mentioned before about the groups that are in then, the study groups more than the societies, which we'll come on to later on. Just kind of talk about how you're feeling about particular modules, asking a question about, or can you get this? I mean, the tutors are great, but sometimes your peers as well can be showing that kind of same problem. And I found that community helping me, and that's how I kind of came involved with the association and a wider perspective. So, you know, do have a look for your module groups on Facebook with some caution, as Jack said, but they're there to help as well.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely find chatting to other students out there and knowing that other people are going through the same thing as I am, you know, it really helps.
Yeah.
At the start, I thought I was the only OU student in the world. You know, I didn't know any other OU students.
It's an amazing feeling talking to students that might be the other end of the country, abroad, and they are all going through similar experiences to you. And even if they haven't got an answer for you, they're there to support you.
Mm. I mean, I've spoken to students, you know, across, like as Steph was saying, across the country, and then what's really liberating is when you meet them at conference, which happens every couple of years, and you kind of go, oh my God, it's you. And then you kind of have to talk even more, and then you still talk to people. I mean, I'm still talking to someone that I met at conference in 2014. It's great that we had that experience, and I met new friends at conference last year, etc. You know, friends forever.
Yeah, I think it's also important. We've always said to them that no question is a stupid or silly question or anything. You know, put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Ask a question, because you can be sure that there are hundreds more people who are asking.
Silly question, which I don't think is a silly question, is what are tutorials like? So for students who are just starting, they might have to go to a class face-to-face or do an online tutorial. And one of the things that I find people are really anxious about is what happens if I need to go to the toilet.
Because true.
You know, you're so used to being in a classroom in school where you need to have permission to do everything, but as adults in the OU, you don't need to ask permission to leave, so you just walk out of the room and you come back
so
in when you're ready.
So I shouldn't have been putting my hand up.
It's so good as well, we can get to go to our, you know, because some of these tutorials happen in universities, you can go and see university and, you know, and you're kind of like, yeah, I'm at uni today, and you kind of get involved with the kind of vibe.
I think my experience with day school was slightly different to the tutorials, because you get more than one session, and it actually made me feel like I was actually in a university, even though it wasn't in Milton Keynes. It was just the experience of having other tutors and meeting more students other than your own tutor group. It was just a brilliant experience. But I value a face-to-face if you can get to them. But so, I also do the online ones. I do the
online
ones.
So would anybody else around the table be willing to share a worry they had when they started OU student study?
Talking on an OU live tutorial was harder for me than talking face-to-face, because I'm a natural talker face-to-face. I found it more difficult to talk with people online. I don't know whether anybody else had that experience.
I thought one of the things I was most worried about was how would you be perceived as an OU student, especially where, as a young student, it's, you know, supposed to be like a stereotype, if you like, that you go to like a mainstream university. How do you get perceived if you're going to choose to work and you're going to do all your studying from home and online? Because there are lots of people out there who try and put a dig in against the OU, say, you know, it's not a proper university and that. And it's, you know, when I first started, it was a bit hard, like, when people would ask about what uni you go to, and then you have to go into the whole rigmarole of explaining about the OU and what it's all about. And then it's only then when people start, oh, right, yeah. But it's for me, one of the difficulties was how will you be perceived as an OU student.
And how did you explain it to people what the OU was about, Jack?
I just explained that I study from home, get all the course materials sent out to me, and I go to work as well. And it funds it. I get that, the best of both worlds.
I think employers respect it a little bit more as well with the Open University, because they've shown that commitment to working all day or part-time and then studying part-time as well.
Yeah, it definitely shows that you're dedicated to your studies, you know, that you're putting in the hours.
I think so, you've got to be motivated as well to get out of bed every morning and basically go to your desk and do a load of hours of worth of studying, I think. Yeah. So what was your biggest fear?
I think standing in a corridor waiting to go into the tutorial room, knowing when to open if you've got hard copy books, when to start. And it's like, am I allowed to start? The box has arrived. So I used to open the box, check all the stuff had arrived, then look for the study calendar and then mark off things into my own diary so that I knew what was happening. And then I'd actually write a week before the cut-off date for anything, so that I knew.
But you were really waiting for somebody to give you that little nudge to get started, and you could take ownership of it then? Which you don't really need to do you? You can open the book and have a little read. And what I quite like to do is when I have the books, I open them, I have a glance through the contents page, and I think, I'm going to get ahead here.
And has that happened?
And then 2 weeks later, I realise I haven't read anything.
Well, can I just bring in some comments from Facebook?
Absolutely.
Because we've had some comments in. Holly Jane Scarrett, my intentions are good. I've got a diary with all my cut-off dates and the study planner, as well as my work rota, because she does shift work. She says, let's see how it goes, because her time management is shocking. Another one, Kate Withers, similar situation to me. I hadn't done my A-level, so was worried about my standard of education wasn't high enough. Another one here from Eileen Bleasley. Stick to the study planner whenever you can. And if you feel overwhelmed and can't take information in, take a break and do something fun. And that's one of the best bits of advice I'd like to give, because I always find that it's more difficult to go off and do studying for hours on end.
Yep.
I like to do it short, take some breaks, and I think it focuses your mind a bit more.
I discovered something really good a few weeks ago was short TV programmes. So I don't watch TV very often, but I find a TV show that's about 20 minutes long. So if I need to have a break, I just watch it for 20 minutes and then get back to work.
A good sitcom's good for that, I think.
Yeah, well,
Big Bang Theory and things like
that. Something nice and short, easy to watch. So hopefully in a little while we're going to be talking to Elliot from Nightline. And Nightline is one of the really important ways that students are supported when things are starting to get difficult in their studies.
And it's important to say that Nightline is independent from the OU, isn't it?
Nightline is the telephone helpline service for students. So hopefully we can talk about that with Elliot.
Hello, can you hear us, Elliot?
Are you there?
Should
we hold hands? And hope for his arrival.
We're on the round table.
We're waiting.
Yes. Hiya, can you hear me?
It's great to have you on the line, Elliot. I'm going to hand you over to Steph, who's going to do a fantastic interview with you now.
Hi, Elliot. What is Nightline?
So Nightline is a completely confidential, a completely anonymous, and a completely non-judgmental listening and information service. That means we take calls on anything and everything. We don't offer advice. That's the one big thing to mention. There are a lot of different places that you can go to for advice. There are dedicated helplines. University services often have advice services. So we don't offer advice, but what we do offer is a listening ear, someone who is going to listen to what you have to say without jumping in, without offering their opinion, in a really safe a safe space for you to feel how you feel.
So why does Nightline actually exist?
So we started off, Nightline started off, it's actually our 45th anniversary this year. Nightline started off in 1971, following a string of student suicides, and some people got together, some of the professors, some of the parents of the students, some of the students got together and said, this can't go on, we need to change things, we need to offer support in a new way, in a different way. And together they came up with Nightline. So it was Essex, and then London, and then since then, Nightlines have spread right across the UK and Ireland.
And who provides that support?
So one of the things which sets Nightline aside from any other service you could potentially call or contact is that all of our volunteers are students. That means that every time you call, every time you text, every time you email, a person, the volunteer who answers the phone call, is someone who is a current student. It could be at a London university. It could be at the Open, a student from the Open University themselves as well. So you're always put through to a student who knows that life as a student sometimes isn't necessarily as easy as the media have made out. Sometimes it's a bit more challenging. Sometimes it's not necessarily as fun. And sometimes you just need someone to listen. All of our volunteers are completely anonymous. So they go through extensive training so that we make sure that they're ready to take any kind of call. But then once they have become volunteers, they are anonymous. Yes.
Okay. And how can a student get the support from Nightline?
Our lines are open every single night of term time from 6 p.m. to 8 a.m. And you can call us or text us or email us. So you can call us on 0207 631 0101. You can text us on 07717 989 900. You can email us on listening@nightline.org.uk, or you can go onto our website where you'll find our brand new instant messaging service. All you have to do is click talk to volunteer and you are immediately in a conversation. Well, those are all the ways you can contact us during term time. When term closes, for example, we're closed for 2 weeks over Easter, our lines are still open, but you can only contact us via email. So if it is the Easter break and you do want someone to talk to, give us an email and we'll get back to you within 48 hours.
It sounds really good, Elliot, that there's lots of different ways to get in touch. So for students who maybe feel uncomfortable talking on the phone, it means they can get in touch via the messenger service or online. And I think that that's a really good asset to what you're telling us about Nightline.
Yeah, we find that students like to express themselves in different ways. So for one person, it might be that they like to hear another human voice, someone who will listen to them and who can respond to them and they can hear that it's another human. For other people, it might be that they want that sort of instant connection, but actually saying things out loud can be a bit intimidating or a bit scary, in which case the instant messaging service might be more for them. And for some people, it's a case of wanting to just lay everything out, put it down methodically, so that they can then read back what they've said. And so it might be that for them, the email service is ideal because you can take your time to write it all out and then look forward to a response from us.
And Elliot, what would you say to a student who's at home and they're struggling, but they maybe feel like this service isn't for them? You know, maybe they feel like they don't actually need it as much or that they don't deserve it. I've had a few conversations with students who felt like that over the last few years.
I would say to them that Nightline is for anything and it is for everything. We take calls on all manners of things. There is no problem too big, there is no problem too small. If there is something that you want to talk about, then we are there every single night of term from 6 p.m. to 8 a.m. and our volunteers are willing to take that call at 4 a.m. even if you're not exactly sure what you want to say, you're just upset and you need to talk about it and you don't know what you want to say, that's absolutely fine. If you do need some kind of support, Nightline is there for you and I'd 100% recommend it. Having been a volunteer before and now running the service, I would 100% recommend it. And there are other support avenues out there, so always look to find someone who will listen to you. It can be scary, but I would really sort of, I've seen the difference it can make.
Thank you.
Elliot, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you, Elliot.
No worries. So, thank you very much.
Cheers.
Bye.
Cheers, bye.
Okay, we're going to quickly do a little talk on meetups. But first, I'm going to mention that there is a big February meetup on the 25th of February where there's going to be meetups all over the UK and further, hopefully.
And what do you mean by meetups, Steph?
Well, they can be face-to-face, where students will be gathering in cafes and pubs. There's also going to be some online ones. We've got a host. I mean, I've hosted some, but Graham's hosted or attended quite a few. So
just slightly, a few.
So what is a meetup?
A meetup could be anything you want it to be. So up in the Northwest, we had four in Freshers last time in October, and then we had four in November just after kind of TMAs. And it was basically a way of people getting together, having a chat, having a coffee, and kind of sharing ideas. And I know fellow students in Liverpool, they actually went on a night out, just to kind of another way of kind of meeting other students and kind of engaging in that way. So they're just there as a chat, really. And, you know, we've done it as well in Plexus, where we have our committee meeting somewhere in the country. So we all kind of have a chat, get all the formal stuff done. And then we go out afterwards, another way to kind of engage in our students.
Okay, and there is a way that students can find out how if there's any meetups in their area, isn't there?
Yeah, I think the predominant place to look for meetups is Facebook. So if you look in your regional Facebook pages or Facebook groups, there's there. Or you can look on the association's website. So there's an events page there. So if you go to www.open.ac.uk/OUSA and look for meetups, and you'll be able to find them all in there.
If you want to directly contact the student community team, it's student-community@open.ac.uk, and you can ask any questions about meetups there. And how easy is it to become a host?
Instant.
It's very easy. I hosted an event in Belfast a few weeks ago, and to be a host, essentially, that means you're the organiser of an event. And you are assisted by the association.
Through the local community project, which I have a hand in helping with.
And Steph is a great help to everybody who's organising these type of events around the country.
And again, if you contact that email address, student-community@open.ac.uk, you can find out about how to host a meetup in your own area. You'll get a support pack, some advice, some help, and a lot of support from other students that are doing it in other areas as well.
And the support packs are really useful as well, because if you go into a cafe anywhere in the country and you put that kind of fluorescent yellow bag on
and
the table.
Balloons
lasted the first round, but the second time they use the yellow bag and people look for the logo, because obviously it is quite daunting if you don't know someone and you go up to a person and go, "You from the OU?" And it's like a little icebreaker.
And it's just lovely to meet other OU students, and certainly in Belfast, I really appreciated the little pack.
Yeah.
It would have been even better if I'd remembered to take the little pack with me. Silly Nikki forgot to take it with her, but it was okay because I was wearing my OU student t-shirt and everybody found me anyway.
Must admit, I had my hoodie on at the time.
I was going to say, I'd bought a sweatshirt hoodie thing from the web shop. Yeah. So I draped that nonchalantly over the back of a chair.
Graham, it's over to you.
Okay, so there's many ways you can get involved with the association, as we've just talked about in the meetups, but there's actually a number of societies and groups that students can join as well. There is this, let's say there's lots and lots of societies, but there's three groups. We have the Disabled Students Group, known as the DSG. We also have the OU Young Students, which Jack kind of looks after. So if you're aged 18 to 30-ish,
I'm 34. Yeah, I'm in the young students.
Me too. I'm a member of the young students group, and it's just another platform for people to kind of talk to and kind of share experiences, isn't it? But what I'm here to talk about is Plexus. So that is the Open University's LGBT group. It's new in formation. So we've been around. We launched officially in June last year, which is it's a support group for LGBT students who want to come together and kind of talk about different issues that they have. Plexus is actually, in terms of what it means a network. So that's why we kind of liked the idea of having a name that wasn't necessarily associated with the traditional LGBT kind of name. But Plexus as well, it also is actually an anagram. So P is pride, L for learning, E for equality, X for no excuses, U for unity, and S for safety. So that's kind of our bread and butter. That's what we're about. That's how we're going to engage with students and educate students on how they can be more aware about how to engage with the Open University. It doesn't matter if you're LGBT or not. It's not a case of we've got a clause at the door and a card that you need. You don't at all. So please come along and join in.
How do students find out about Plexus?
So you can search for us on Facebook and Twitter with @OUPlexus. And we also have our own website as well, which is www.ouplexus.co.uk. And that's how you can join as well.
And I believe that you have hosted some meetups for Plexus in
we
the last
have, yeah. So we had one in Milton Keynes, just had to be done, being our home.
Those students who are new, who don't know that there is actually a campus here in Milton Keynes. It's where we're sitting right now. It's where Studio is based. It's where your course books get sent from. It's where a lot of academics are based, and they're busy working away in their offices. Probably at this time of night, I'm sure there's quite a few of them still working away.
Research students
are here as well. So that's why the big focus in Milton Keynes.
It's true. There's bricks, the mortar. We do have university buildings. And then we had recently one in Edinburgh, in the north, which was quite an interesting experience because obviously a lot of focus tends to be kind of the English region, but we in Plexus were quite keen on kind of going to the nations as well because there are students out there. We actually have more students in Scotland and Northern Ireland than we do of the rest of the country so far.
Who are members of Plexus?
Who are a member of Plexus,
that's quite interesting.
Which is good, yeah.
Okay.
We've got National Student Pride coming up at the end of February. So as part of the big meetup, we're going to do one on the Saturday as part of National Student Pride.
And presumably all the details about that will go on your website?
They're going to be on the website. Well, they'll be on our Facebook page more than the website, but so do check them out. So you can follow us at OUPlexus and join through the website there.
That's great. Thank you very much for that information. So don't forget, we started off the evening by telling you about the radio show having its own new name, Studio.
Studio.
And we also told you about ways that you can get involved and that we are actually looking for volunteers to become hosts.
We're looking for 12 students to join the hosting team because we're looking to take the studio to the next level. And what do you need to do to apply? Well, you need to complete an application, which you can see when you go onto the link, which you can find on Facebook and on the Open University Students Association website. And as part of that application, you need to include a 2-minute recording of yourself talking about the student community to give us an idea of your hosting style. You can build up some confidence and experience, but it's just another interesting skill to add to your CV, I suppose.
And we have enjoyed it, haven't we? You know, it was after our first sort of radio session, whether or not it was good, bad or indifferent because of fire alarms and such like.
But that can all be edited out later.
Yeah. Yes. No, but we've loved it.
Yeah.
And it's,
we really have, yeah.
You leave on a high, don't you?
You do.
We will be in touch with OU students over the next coming days and weeks because we want your views about what the association should be doing for you.
Absolutely.
Because we are run by students for students, so we need to hear your views.
And topics for studio as well would be quite useful as well, wouldn't it?
That's a great idea.
What do you want to know? What do you want us to talk about?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, look at you. Seasoned campaigner you are on the radio.
Maybe next time you will be joining us with some new presenters.
Fantastic.
Yes. We might have some new faces around.
So we do hope you've enjoyed it. Your university study makes you resourceful. You go looking for more studenty stuff. We're out there. We're here. Find us.
I know, find us. But
great.
That's the sign of that. That means we have to end the thing. Sue's laughing.
The pizza's kicked in now.
It's just hitter.
No, it's lovely to have been invited back to meet and talk with students who were new to the radio and who were sort of old hands at it now. And the fact that it's got a new name and it's moving forward. Yeah, and it's all about saying to you new students that there is a community.
Yeah. And lots of opportunities.
And get involved. Please, absolutely. please get involved, because you will have a giggle and a hoot like we have.
Aye, indeed. So from all of us...
here in...
Studio.
The studio.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye.